The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We have our FBI teams out there at 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. They can tell you, and they're happy to do it, out there working with HSI, ERO, and removing these people from the country while still preventing a terror attack, investigating terror attacks that do happen. And I'm going to add another thing, Sean. We're not the Federal Bureau of freaking word games anymore, okay? It's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. When some guy shows up at a scene, and I'm getting an intel stream from our information center that indicates he threw an incendiary device, okay, while screaming very specific words with multiple witnesses and video.
That was Dan Bongino. Now with the FBI, obviously, working under FBI Director Cash Bissell as a deputy. And basically, there's a new sheriff in town, if you will, where they're saying, you know, we're not doing things like assigning, whatever, 15-20% of our FBI workforce to investigate J6 for years, which is what that report that came out when in February, that report came out citing exactly, you know, how many agents were actually assigned to J6. And in fact, that J6 investigation is often described as the largest in the Justice Department's history. You think about what the focus was, and the focus seemed to be off crime fighting and getting violent criminals, especially those who have come here illegally or are terror related, off the streets. And not to mention investigating Catholics. Remember that whole story. So we have that going on. We've been talking a lot about policing issues this morning, and I had updated you that just yesterday, Senator Marsha Blackburn had proposed a new law that would protect ICE and federal law enforcement from, being targeted, doxxed, in fact, because we're seeing that. And that's why they're wearing masks. So we're seeing across the board, across the country, Democrats critical of law enforcement wearing masks when they're being threatened. Not just them, they're being doxxed, their children, their spouses being threatened, and that's why they're wearing the mask. And so now this is triggering the conversation, triggering new legislative action, new laws to try to crack down on that kind of doxxing. With all of this going on, we want to welcome back. We realize we haven't talked to Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, National Police Association, in a little bit. So welcome back, my friend. We missed you. We've all been busy, so it's good to have you back.
It is so great to be back. And, Don, did you ever think you'd hear the Democrats complain about somebody wearing a mask?
Wow, well said. I mean, that's a good one, right? I mean, they're the party of the mask until now.
Exactly. So, and we're so grateful to Marsha Blackburn. You know, she is such a friend of law enforcement. She's a particular friend of the National Police Association. You know, her staff is so responsive and stuff. And we're so glad that she introduced this bill because it is, you know, it's one thing for you to get attacked as a cop. You know, you're used to that. But this putting out the pictures and names in schools and things of workplaces, of spouses, of kids, it's obscene. It's horrific. No cop should have to deal with that, much less our brave ICE agents who are being assaulted nearly 500% more than usual.
Which is, you know, and that's a real problem, too, that you're now. So let me ask you this. You know, when you see this push for, on one side, military, you know, basically trying to recruit or get new recruits on the military side, that's looking good. What about the defund the police movement and trying to reverse that across America? And you just heard Dan Bongino as he's talking about their new recruits. So there's a real theme here that we're trying to motivate people to go into that career, and that it's a good career, that's an honorable career, that you'll be supported. But where do you see, as far as law enforcement recruitment, what do you see when you look out? And I know you obviously do a lot of training as well at the national level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing a shift, but especially on the state and local level, yeah, it's slow. And partially because of really 5 years of all this vilification and misinformation about law enforcement and kids who, let's say 5 years ago were 21 years old, you know, that would have been police officers, 20, 21, they've gone on to other professions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's slow, but we are seeing an uptick, but it is going to take time and it's going
to
take policy shifts.
Oops, sorry. There was a little rain.
You know, that's all right. We need to see some policy shifts. We need to see DEI go away. We need to go back to recruiting the best and the brightest and the most qualified. And once that starts happening on a larger level, it's already happening in some areas regionally. Mm-hmm. Then I think you're going to see an explosion. But the cops that we talk to around the country are very optimistic.
What about, you know, I think of, you know, here in Philadelphia, for example, and I'm a longtime resident of the city of Philadelphia. So for many years when my husband and I, when we were first married, actually 25 years ago, next week, if I can even believe it, Betsy, you know, in this quaint part of Philadelphia called Chestnut Hill, and, you know, you go mm-hmm. into Mount Airy, wherever you go down Germantown Ave, there were bike officers. And so they really had this focus on community policing. And at one point, police also it was less of kind of a conveyor belt, like factory mentality. It was more that if you were the first on the scene of a homicide, you were more likely to stay with that investigation. That's the philosophy that I see in policing in places like Abington, for example, a suburb just outside of Philadelphia. So one thing I think are you seeing the changes to kind of go back to community policing where you know your neighborhood police officer, for example, who's out on the bike, who's just out and about in the community and also showing that presence? Is there a shift that way?
Yeah, you know, my husband and I just had this discussion yesterday, and we were talking about this that when we were young cops, you know, we would stay with a case and now you see, you know, it's so different. I know part of that's technology, part of that's staffing. You know, again, most police departments are still very short staffed. So a beat cop has got to get there, you know, secure the scene, take the initial report, and then go on to the next call. But we are seeing a shift in philosophy that, oh, community policing works. The situation where we're seeing cops get out of the car, walk around, ride their bikes, you know, all those kind of things, we're starting to see that works. And so departments want to go back to that. The problem is they don't have enough cops to be able to do that. So we're seeing it come back in the suburbs, but in the big cities, for example, here in Tucson, Arizona, they have the same staffing in Tucson, Arizona, now that they had in the 1970s. That's horrific. And we see that all around the country. I know you guys see that too, mm-hmm. where you just don't have enough cops. You got to have a lot of cops mm-hmm. to be able to do community policing. But what are you starting to hear people talk about? Broken windows policing, right?
Yep.
90s. New York, Giuliani, all that, where people feel safe again to talk about that.
Yeah, it's and you know, we just had the trial of former police officer Mark Dial. That took place, of mm-hmm. course. It was a very timely trial just right before the district attorney, you know, primary election, right before it. It's kind of funny timing. But in that one, our local DA wanted first-degree murder charges against a cop whose defense team, very good defense lawyers, and ended with a mixed verdict there. But the defense team had said, look, this was a horrible mistake. They thought he had a gun in his hand. The person who tragically in the traffic stop was shot and killed. But it was a mistake. He thought he had a gun, but he did have a weapon in his hand. I mean, he actually had something in his hand, and he was refusing law enforcement. Then we learned the young man was schizophrenic. Then we learned that he did not understand English. And I thought, well, geez, maybe that should be part of the driver's training, that you understand some basic words. you know, in an English-speaking country. Maybe that would, I don't know if it, if anybody's changing that law, they're not talking about it. But I just think the fact that the feeling in the city of Philadelphia by the cops is that, man, you step out of line just a little bit and they're going to go after you and they want to put you away for your life, the rest of your life, if you make a mistake, a tragic mistake on the job.
Well, and that's why the I just was talking to a Washington Examiner reporter about this earlier this morning. And, you know, he said, oh, you know, crime is going down and this and that. And I said, yeah, but it's going to be a slow shift with law enforcement because we still have these prosecutors like what you guys are dealing with. Who would rather put a cop in prison than anybody else. We are seeing these slow shifts. For example, in Atlanta, there was a police officer there, Sung Kim, who had been on for almost 30 years, shot and killed a guy during a traffic stop, very similar case to the Mark Dial case. And Fonnie Willis, you know, that name should be familiar to everybody, the prosecutor there, she wanted to put him in prison. That case just got dropped. This is from 2019. So he's been living under this horrible stress and strain for all these years. The whole case has been dropped. But this is the thing. These cases where they're trying to prosecute cops, they take sometimes years to make it through the system. And so cops are kind of still holding their breath. But we're seeing these prosecutors slowly replaced around the country. You know, this it happened in Cook County. It happened in St. Louis. It happened in San Francisco. So you're seeing, but, you know, still Philadelphia, Travis County, Texas, you're still, you know, New York, you know, Manhattan, you still have these woke prosecutors who would rather put cops in jail. But now you have a federal government who's paying attention. Yes. And you have legislation pending, lots of federal legislation where some of these issues can be addressed federally if they're not going to be addressed locally.
And locally in our area, there's another headline, and I think this is happening across the country, where you have in our suburbs, Montgomery County, they're calling because there were about 20 individuals who were arrested by ICE officers. And so the call now is, well, the commissioners or the leadership must do something. And so there's this call from advocates. So let me ask you something. What do they mean by that? I mean, if the law is that if you're here illegally, and especially if you are wanted in your home country or you're a suspected criminal, that sort of thing, it just seems to me like that, what are they calling on these people or the public to do when federal agents come in and they obviously have, these are targeted arrests that I know for a fact, this is not like they're winging it. These are planned operations. They have a specific laser focused target. And so for media, for local advocates, even lawmakers to say, this is a call to action that we want to stop these ICE officers. I'm just asking you, as someone a long time in law enforcement, obviously you've worked your way up the ranks now with the National Police Association. What do you hear when you hear or read those words?
Well, what our cops are dealing with is they have to, you know, look forward at what they're doing. Perfect example of this was Minneapolis. I think it was day before yesterday, where their federal and local agents are working a drug operation. They're doing a big search warrant, you know, all this stuff. People literally come out of the woodwork and start attacking them. So they have to look forward at the search warrant they're doing and the arrests they're making and stuff. And then behind them are literally people jumping on their backs because they think they're ICE agents, because they have been told, oh, you must stop ICE. And what is going, you know, and we've seen, you know, nationally legislators doing this, fighting with ICE. And it's really concerning because I think what you're going to see, not only are you going to see people get arrested, but I think you're going to see people get hurt because you can't attack cops while they're doing their job. And yet, so irresponsibly, you have local and national politicians telling people to interrupt, to hashtag resist. So you have these whack jobs. There's no other way to say it, you know, but these, you know, and a lot of it's the, you know, the purple haired crazy ladies that are literally jumping on the backs of what they think are ICE agents. Yeah. And it's simply cops trying to protect their community. So I think you're going to see that's probably going to ramp up this summer. And I think you're going to see a lot of people get arrested. But I think you're going to unfortunately see people get hurt.
Would it help if those were mounted officers? I just think they have to think differently. These cops shouldn't have to face these, like you said, nut jobs who might, I don't know, be armed, or we don't know what they have. They're going to throw acid in their face or whatever, urine in their face. Should police and ICE change their attitude and get them, I don't know, on segways, either robotics or horses, or somehow distance them with a more intimidating, way of coming into the community? I don't have the answer. I just feel like this is going to be bad, to your point.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think tactically what we're going to need, and here's the problem. You know, it'd be great to have a line of mounted officers, even a line of bike officers. I used to run our crowd control team of bikes, and, you know, you can do a lot of things. But when you're hundreds of officers short, it's so difficult. And that's, you know, what you're saying, like what we saw in Minneapolis. You know, here's these officers. They weren't from ICE. But, you know, everybody, when they start to see cops in any kind of tactical gear, you know, they're like, oh, it's ICE. We got to protect the immigrants. And so you're right. I think you're going to see more and more police officers. And in some areas, you know, especially large blue cities, we may have to bring in the National Guard to at least assist. But wouldn't it be nice if people could just let law enforcement do their jobs?
Yes.
And what we need to see is local politicians, you know, like it'd be nice to have the mayor of Nashville, who kind of started all this with doxing of the agents and things, stand up and tell people, stop attacking the police, let them do their job. We'll work this out in the courts.
Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, National Police Association. It's good to hear your voice. Good to catch up with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with me. Everybody go to nationalpolice.org. Hit that donate button. See, we're doing amazing stuff.
You are. And you can go through the policy, the mission, National Police Organization. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much, Betsy.
Thanks, Don.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.